This is the number one rated Phil Henry Show.
From Dodger Stadium, it's Dodger Baseball. Dodger Baseball is on the air. Brought to you by Farmer Fred Sausage. Don't you just love Farmer Fred Sausage? And by Santa Claus. He's coming to town. And by your Southern California ostrich dealer. Ostrich, yet another white meat. Well, hi, everybody, and thanks for tuning in here from beautiful Dodger Stadium. The Dodgers are trying to find their way out of the cellar here in the National League West. You know, there was a time when the O'Malleys owned this team. They were an exciting ball club. They had Tommy Lasorda and Walter Alston as their manager. As a matter of fact, they used to have Vin Scully doing most of the play-by-play. But now the Dodgers have hit hard times. They've hired me, Rick Mundy, a former ball player, and some guy named Ross Porter, who still can't get himself out of the number three broadcast position. Pardon me, let me put this on a loop so that... wait a second, wrong. Okay, hold on. I'm okay. I'll be fine. So anyway, folks, when I was... Turn it off! Okay. Let me just turn it over to Ross.
Well, thanks a lot, Rick. Boy, that was an auspicious start for you. By the way, everybody, this game today marks the 6,743rd time that I've done a baseball game for the Dodgers after pulling a pretty sizable nose hair out of one of my nostrils left-handed while we've been on the road playing on AstroTurf. Sizable nose hair on the road, AstroTurf. Mark it down. Well, everybody, Davey Johnson was talking with us earlier about how much this ball game means as the Dodgers take on a team of Parkinson's disease all-stars.
Well, I'll tell you right now, Ross, I will tell you this. We've had a tough time this season coming on in like we do and not having no good team. Well, hell, that makes a man just want to spit. But I will tell you right now, if we can't beat the Parkinson's disease all-stars, and let me be clear about who we're playing today. We're playing celebrities who have or look like they have Parkinson's disease. If we can't beat them, I'll tell you right now, I'll self-mutilate. I will self-mutilate.
So there's the comment from Davey Johnson, manager of the Dodgers. He's saying, Rick Mundy, that he'll self-mutilate, and I assume that means carve his own genitals off with a rusty hacksaw blade if they don't win.
Well, right you are, Ross, and that'll be something to take a look at. By the way, there was a recent trade among the Parkinson's disease all-stars. It sounds like I have Parkinson's, doesn't it?
Well, you know what? I was just about to say, you look like you have Parkinson's before that first Bloody Mary in the morning.
Well, thank you very much. A recent trade from the multiple sclerosis all-stars brought over Annette Funicello and Richard Pryor. So it ought to be a real good ball game. So Dodger Baseball is coming up over most of these stations right after this word, right here on the Dodger Radio Network. Well, hi, everybody. This is Vin Scully reminding you that I'm not doing the game today because I wouldn't be caught dead within 100 miles of the booth with those two clowns. So I'm at home right now having myself a Gentleman Jack and a beer back. Now back to the ball game. Well, thanks a lot, and welcome back to Dodger Stadium. Say, fans, don't forget, on September 26th, as the Dodgers face off against the San Diego Padres, it's going to be gun night. Yes, bring the kids out, and we'll give them a gun.
And don't forget as well, Rick, that on the following Tuesday, it's bullet night.
So if you bring the kids back, they'll get bullets for their gun. Only at Dodger Stadium, still a fantastic deal. And oh, Jesus.
The Dodgers take on a team of Parkinson's disease all-stars. And here's what the guy who plays center field for the Dodgers, here's what he had to say about that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty good. You know, I mean, these cats, they can't even hold a freaking bat still, man. You got to be putting me on, baby. You tell me I can't beat that? Hell, man, I swear to before God and Jesus and everyone, man, I can beat a man, can't even hold a bat. Come on!
So that was what Goodwin had to say for the game. And I will do the lineup. And for the lineup, here is the guy who wishes he was the voice of the Dodgers, Rick Money. Rick?
All right, thanks a lot. And here is the lineup for the Parkinson's Disease All-Stars. Leading off and playing center field, Muhammad Ali. At second base, Janet Reno. And Michael J. Fox, Catherine Hepburn, Don Knotts, Pope John Paul II, Montel Williams, Richard Pryor, Annette Funicello. And now back to Ross Porter.
All right, thanks a lot. Let's get it underway here. And for the play-by-play of today's game, let's go back to Rick Monday.
All right, thanks a lot, Ross. Let's get that lineup for the Dodgers first. And with that lineup, let's go back to Ross Porter.
All right, here's the lineup for the Dodgers. In center field, Tom Goodwin, Eric Karros, Grusulanic, Sheffield, the same guys. Now here's back to, what's his name?
All right. So the Dodgers are going to try to get up off the mat. Could you turn the crowd down, please? Thank you, folks. The Dodgers try to get up off the mat here against the Parkinson's Disease All-Stars. And a lot of the... And here's... Davey, you had more to say?
I'll self-mutilate.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay.
One, two,
oh, excuse me.
By the way, can I play a little organ as long as...
Well, go ahead.
Yeah.
I love the way Ross plays the organ.
La, 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 la.
That's real good. Okay, leading off for the Parkinson's Disease All-Stars is Muhammad Ali. On the mound for the Dodgers is somebody, some bum they didn't get out of their farm system, that's for sure. And here's the windup in the first pitch to Muhammad Ali.
Inside.
Ball one. Coming over here to the ballpark this evening, I picked my nose and wiped it on the seat of my brand new car. Here's the next pitch, just inside, ball two. Also, I noticed I had a little bit of a burn, so I stopped off for some Desinex. Next pitch, steer. 2-1. 2-1 to Muhammad Ali, who suffers from Parkinson's disease and ordinarily in real life wouldn't be allowed within 100 miles of a baseball stadium. But because the Dodgers blow so thoroughly this year, they're playing this team, and who knows, they just might lose. Might be worth seeing, huh, Ross?
Well, it'd be worth seeing just to see Davey Johnson self-mutilate.
Here's the windup, the next pitch to Muhammad Ali. Here's swung on, a long drive and a deep right field. Back goes the right fielder, whoever he is, Sean Green, and she is... He makes the catch. So Ali takes Sean Green to the warning track in left field, but not before Sean Green's able to catch the ball. And I don't know why my voice continues to do this, because when I was a baseball player, I talked like a normal human being. That brings up Eric Karros. Eric Karros, he's a creep. Eric Karros used to be somebody when the Dodgers had Mike Piazza, but of course now, he's just a switch-hitting bum. And here's the windup in the... Oh, Eric Karros is at the plate? Is he now... Has Parkinson's disease?
I was going to say, what the hell's wrong with you? Karros is out there playing for the Dodgers.
Well, I'm awfully sorry. Well, let's let him, okay?
Yeah.
Here's the windup of the pitch. Okay, it's a home run. I knew it. You give those cripples Eric Karros. What do you think's going to happen?
I don't know. I thought it'd be a good idea.
1-0, Parkinson's Disease All-Stars. Because my partner, Ross Porter, said, oh, let Eric Karros play for him. He puts it out of the park. 1-0, Parkinson's Disease All-Stars.
I gotta tell you, I didn't think that happened.
You know, the older you get, the more you sound like Bob Hope. Did you know that?
Thanks a lot. On the road for Texas now.
All right, that brings up Catherine Hepburn. Now, Catherine Hepburn, you could ask her a question. Like, for instance, Catherine, were you an actress? And she may want to nod her assent to that, but her head's always shaking no. And that's the thing that confuses me about her. Right, Ross?
And no doubt about it. I was having dinner with Catherine. I said, so, Catherine, isn't it true that you had an affair with Spencer Tracy? And she was shaking her head back and forth as if to say no. And she said, yeah. So it's confusing.
When she nods in the affirmative, the combo of her shakes, the nodding in the affirmative and the shaking of the head back and forth because of the Parkinson's disease, creates a big circle.
I've noticed that.
Here's the windup of the first pitch to Catherine Hepburn, inside ball one. 1-0 to Catherine Hepburn. Hey, friends, don't forget to come on out to Dodger Stadium on October 13th. There won't be anybody playing here that day. Here's the next pitch to Catherine Hepburn. Swung on. There's a ground ball down the right field line. And she's got that ball. It's fair. Catherine Hepburn rounding first, heading for second, heading around second, heading for third. And she's on her way home. Here's the throw. Well, now they tell me she's just at first base. Okay.
Are you sure you don't have Parkinson's?
All right, folks. Let's take a time out here as the Parkinson's Disease All-Stars have one on the bag.
And we've got one in the bottle in here.
It's 1-0 Parkinson's Disease All-Stars over the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Have another Bloody Mary. Get it together.
Right here on the Phil Henry Radio Show. To the Phil Henry Show. Back here at Dodger Stadium, 1-0. It's the Parkinson's Disease All-Stars leading the Dodgers on a home run by Eric Karros, who magically was a part of the Parkinson's Disease All-Stars when my partner Ross Porter, who only knows how to play organ and sit there and suck on Bombay gin, told me that he was now a member of the Parkinson's Disease All-Stars. By the way, I'm Rick Monday. I wish I was the number one voice of the Dodger broadcast, but that's Vin Scully, and he wouldn't be seen within 16 miles of this place. Now, anyway.
Yeah, pop that music back up, okay? It's not better.
So it's 1-0. Catherine Hepburn on first base. Don Knotts at the plate. Now, I don't know whether or not Don Knotts has Parkinson's disease, but boy, he sure looks like it. All right, so on the mound for the Dodgers, of course, is Kevin Brown. And Kevin Brown gave up a triple that turned into a single for Catherine Hepburn. And only with someone who is afflicted with Parkinson's disease can a triple turn into a single. Here's the lineup, the first pitch to Don Knotts inside, ball one. You know, it really tightens my jaws when I went to work for the Dodgers thinking they'd be a world championship contender and taking a look at the pile of manure they've become. And I asked Davey Johnson how it feels being a great manager of a rotten, foul, fetid, corrosive, stench-ridden organization like the Dodgers.
Well, it feels pretty good being a part of this organization. I love so very deeply everybody involved. Bob Daly, Kevin Malone. I'd really like to take Kevin Malone out behind a truck and beat him within an inch of his life. But in public, of course, I say I like him. However, if he gets run over, I'd be the first guy to look at. And anyway, it's really great.
That was David Johnson. Here's the next pitch now to Don Knotts, swung on. And he pops it up there into left field, coming in for the ball there at left field. And now, Catherine Hepburn tagged up, is on her way to second base, and is in safe. And that ball was lost there in the lights by the right fielder, Sean, for the left fielder, Gary Sheffield. So you've got two on and one out. And it's 1-0, the Parkinson's Disease All-Stars. This is really driving me nuts. And another thing...
Why are you yelling?
Oh, I mean, I'm sorry. And it's really driving me nuts. And I hate it. Say, fans, don't forget, on December 6th here at Dodger Stadium, they'll be watering the grass. Come on out and stare at our sprinklers.
All right, looks like the Parkinson's Disease All-Stars are going to make a batting change here. They were going to go with Montel Williams, but since he just came over from the muscular sclerosis, dystrophy, whatever the hell they're called, guys, he's not just ready, so they're bringing up Annette Funicello.
All right, so Annette Funicello, she's in a wheelchair. I'll tell you right now, you heard Davey Johnson say he'd self-mutilate if they lost to this team. I'll go one better. If Annette Funicello, a woman in a wheelchair, is actually able to get a hit off of Kevin Brown and get a ribby, that is, score a run batted in, I'm going to jump out of the press box head first into the concrete steps below on the field level seats.
Well, we look forward to that.
I hate you so very much, Ross.
Thank you.
Here's the windup of the pitch. Oh, no. No, please. No, God, no.
I'll take over here. That's a long drive in a center field. Around comes Catherine Hepburn. She'll score. And coming in is Don Knotts. He'll score. And standing up with a triple, and I say standing up figuratively, she's in a wheelchair, isn't that Funicello? Okay, we'll see you later, Rick. Ah! right, so Rick Mundy went head first out of the booth. And with any luck, he'll be a part of this Parkinson's All-Star team in a few minutes. So it's 4-0, Parkinson's Disease All-Stars. I'm Ross Porter, and I've been doing Dodger games for 20 years, and I'm still number 3 on the list. Because if you see me on television, I'm the most mealy-mouthed looking mother you ever saw in your life. So that'll bring up Richard Pryor, who not only has muscular sclerosis or dystrophy or whatever the hell it's called, he set himself on fire once. If you'll pardon me, I'm just going to play a little organ here while Richard takes his cuts up there at the plate. Richard Pryor set himself on fire and has multiple sclerosis. I relax this way. All right, here comes Richard Pryor, Kevin Brown on the mound. Kevin Brown being humiliated by a team full of Parkinson's disease all-stars. And we talked to Kevin Brown about how it would feel getting touched up for a lot of hits and getting beaten by Parkinson's disease all-stars.
I don't care. I know it's going to happen. I mean, I suck. You know, the whole team sucks. Doesn't matter to me. What do I give a crap? What kind of a question is that?
That was Kevin Brown just before the game. Here's the windup of the pitch. You bet. He fed up a gopher ball. Way back there, the center field. Way back. She's out of here. So Richard Pryor has just thoroughly embarrassed the Dodgers with a home run as he rounds third base and comes into home plate. He forgot to touch first and second, so he's going to go back out there and do that. Then it'll be a home run. So we'll wait for Richard Pryor to do that. And because he has multiple sclerosis, it's going to take a while. So while we wait for Richard to go back and touch first and second, let me remind you, this is Dodger Baseball being brought to you by Farmer Fred. Farmer Fred, he'll eat anything. Okay, Richard Pryor is... Oh, here comes Rick Mundy back into the booth after jumping head first when Katharine Hepburn got that hit. He said he'd jump head first out of the booth. How you feeling, Rick?
Oh, God.
All right, Rick Mundy will get up to the play-by-play microphone now, and here's the guy who wishes he was the play-by-play voice of the Dodgers, Rick Mundy.
Thank you very much, Ross.
Okay, he said, thanks very much, Ross.
Richard Pryor got back in the dugout.
He just said that Richard Pryor's got back into the dugout.
And after that, Katharine Hepburn.
And now back up to the plate is Katharine Hepburn.
Well, driving over to the ballpark tonight.
When I was driving over to the ballpark tonight,
I was thinking about how old I got.
I was thinking about how much I love my job.
It's a beautiful night.
It's a beautiful night for baseball.
Here's the wind up the pitch.
Here's the wind up the pitch. Strike one. For those of you just tuning in, I'm Ross Porter. I'm interpreting for Rick Mundy, the number one play-by-play voice tonight, because he leapt out of the booth and broke his neck and is basically paralyzed from the neck up. But the rest of him's fine. The neck up, he's paralyzed.
Okay, ta-ta.
All right, going into a stretch. Here's the pitch.
Yay!
Just inside ball one. Oh, Jesus. Yes, I will. He wanted me to play organ.
Oh, man.
That's enough.
I hit the hard again.
Next pitch to Katharine Hepburn. Katharine Hepburn got up to bat twice in this inning, hits a home run. It's 6-0. Muscular dystrophy, Parkinson's disease, multiple sclerosis, all-stars. How about that, fans? Really got a hold of that one. I'll get out of here. I just shoved him out of the booth again. What the hell? I can do this better than him anyway, right? Say, fans, when you come out to Dodger Stadium on March 2nd, 1998, you'll be in a time machine. Here's the next batter, Pope John Paul II. Pope John Paul not only has Parkinson's disease, but I hear tell he's got a little prostate problem. Little drip there, huh? We talked with Pope John Paul before the ball game.
Yeah, man, you know, it's a pain in the ass, but I'm trying. It's good. I got the hemorrhoids and everything. George Brett, he sat on like a cactus or something, man. It's no good, you know.
Pope John Paul just before the game talking to us. This is the Phil Hendry Show, recreating a Dodger game that doesn't really exist. We'll be back in a moment.
Oh, hi. Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. And Mike Tyson was in a press conference yesterday, a so-called bizarre profanity-laced tirade. Mike Tyson said he's on antidepressant medication for a reason. And he said the following, I'm on the Zoloft to keep me from killing y'all, he told reporters during a news conference to promote his October 20th fight against Andrew Golota in Auburn Hills, Michigan. The State Boxing Commission in Michigan has expressed concern about Tyson taking the drug and the fact that he stops taking it before fights. It has really messed me up, and I don't want to be taking it, but they are concerned about the fact that I'm a violent person, almost an animal, and they only want me to be an animal in the ring. But when he said the words, I'm on Zoloft to keep me from killing y'all, I said to myself, you know, I know how you feel, Mike. I do. I know how he feels. I feel exactly the same way, only I'm not on medication. So how does that make you feel, Craig Taylor? You know, seriously, I know exactly. Everybody says, oh, what an animal, what a slob. Mike, I understand Mike Tyson. I get him totally, man. I'm ready to kill somebody, too. If only I was on Zoloft. See, what it is when you're really good at something, like Tyson, great fighter, Phil Henry. Well, I mean, I don't want to talk about myself, but, I mean, who's better than me? Huh? So, you get like you want to murder someone. No one is better than me. Thanks, Craig. You get like you want to commit homicide. All these lightweights, you're surrounded by all these hacks and lightweights. All this chump change, getting all the rewards in life. You know, you say, okay, take me off my Zoloft and let me kill somebody. He said he apologized for his almost constant stream of profanity, saying, this is how I talk. I'm a street person. I never wanted to be a street person. I don't even like them, but that's how my life has turned out. I've had a lot of tragedy, a lot of humiliation and degradation. See, I relate to that, too. He said he only recently figured out why reporters didn't like him. He thought reporters didn't like him because he was black. Now he says that they don't like him because he makes a lot of money. He gets paid. They don't like you, Mike, because they don't want you to be successful, baby. That's exactly right. I know exactly how you feel. The more success you get, the more they hate your living, breathing guts. And it's just going to get worse. You know why? Because you're not sucking up to them and telling them what, you know, giving them interviews and stuff like that. Gary Sheffield used to be really interesting when he was a real slob, but now he's a nice guy, and the reporters just love him. How long before Gary Sheffield cracks again? How long before Gary Sheffield says, you know what, I am so sick and tired of playing this suck-up act. Gary Sheffield on a rampage. That's where I'm going now, man. I've given everything I've got to this ball team, this rotten, stinking organization. I think I'll just turn right back into a slob again. It doesn't make any difference. My check's cash. Wait for it to happen. Thursday's press conference added to Tyson's legacy. I want to make sure your kids and your grandkids remember me, Tyson said. I want your great-grandkids to remember me and say, wow, wasn't that a bizarre individual? Tale of two fighters, both Tyson and Golota have a history of ring transgressions, including Tyson's biting part of Evander Holyfield's ear off and Golota losing twice to Riddick Bowe for hitting low. Tyson was asked if he was concerned about Golota hitting him below the belt, and he smiled and he said, I hope he does hit me low. I really hope he does. Mike Tyson. Dangerous, crazy, maybe, but my kind of a guy. He's mad. He wants to tear somebody's face off. He wants his genius to be recognized in his lifetime. He wants his power and his ability as a fighter to be fully recognized in the pantheon of great fighters that have gone before him. Sure, he's weird, but he's a prize fighter. He's a boxer. You telling me those guys are normal? The guys that put on that normal act, they're whacked. Let's just take, for instance, the old-timer that all the old guys like to talk about, Rocky Marciano. Did you ever see that guy? He had a kisser on him. First of all, one eye went this way, and the other eye went the other way. And they tried to make him into a TV star, and he couldn't say, I'm Rocky Mar... He couldn't put two words together. And he's nutty. Nuttier than a fruitcake. Same thing with Muhammad Ali. Same thing with Jerry Quarry. Same thing with Joe Frazier. Same thing with that Larry Holmes was nuts. And Leon Spinks and Michael Spinks, they're all nuts. You say, why is that, Phil? Is it because they get hit in the head a lot? No. The great fighters didn't get hit in the head a lot. Muhammad Ali didn't get hit in the head a lot. The only time Muhammad Ali ever got really hit in the head a lot was in the Frazier fights. The three Frazier fights, Ali took a lot of shots off the head. Other than that, and the Ken Norton fight where he broke his jaw, okay? Other than those 5,600 times that he got hit in the head, he never got hit in the head all that much.
He didn't. He's got no cauliflower ear. He's a good-looking guy. He always used to talk about how good. You want to know why these guys are punchy? It's not because they got hit in the head. It's just they're prize fighters. They're goofy. You got to be nuts to make a living doing that. And you have to come up through some real, real tough avenues, man. I mean, it's a tough game. You got to be a really extreme, goofy, whacked-out individual to be a prize fighter and to be successful at it. So Mike Tyson is just like everyone else. And the guys that really try to play it cute and try to be Mr. America, like Floyd Patterson tried to be Mr. All-American, nobody bought that. In fact, people felt sorry for Floyd Patterson. And they thought he was the white man's lapdog. So he never caught a break. Even when he was trying to be a nice, decent, respectful guy, he couldn't get a break. And Sonny Liston, he thought that guy was free. He was circling Bluto. He's way out there. Poor old Sonny. So, Mike, you're my kind of a guy. You're on Zoloft. You're jumping up and down on tables. You're not just on Zoloft, man. You come from Zoloft. All right, I want to also tell you guys about the My Twins catalog. And I don't know whether I want to tell you about it or warn you about it, but here it is. It's a catalog featuring dolls that you can make to look just like your kid. Let me repeat that. It's a catalog featuring dolls that you can make to look just like your kid. Craig, look at that. It's a redheaded girl with pigtails, and there's a redheaded doll right next to her with pigtails. She has blue eyes. The doll has blue eyes. She has on a pink sweatshirt. The doll has a pink sweatshirt. Please, dear God, get it away from me. You think you're going to say it's cute? You're going to run from it the way Telly Savalas ran from that talking teen in that Twilight Zone? Here's one girl with overalls. Here's another little doll that they made to look like her. What's up with this? What's this all about? What's it all about, Alfie? What is that? Hey, let's get a doll to look just like our kid and give it to the kid. Can you imagine what the guys that kidnapped the Lindbergh baby were thinking? Okay, Bob, we got it. What did you do? What, I got the kid? No, you don't have the kid. What? It's plastic. You idiot. Now we got to go back up that ladder and get the... Well, I thought I... Get out of here, I'll do it. And take that doll and throw it away. The guys, if they had that during the Lindbergh kidnapping, it would have been, you know, I don't know. They would have had a gun up there. But they don't, okay? Now they do. Maybe that's what it's all about. Maybe it's a decoy. You realize, parents of America, we now have decoys for your kids. They won't get kidnapped or stalked or otherwise brutalized in the streets. Just set up something that looks like your kid with books under its arms standing on a street corner. Guy pulls up, grabs the doll, races off, last laugh's on you. And if you've got a camera going, it's hysterical. One of the great things about these little Tina dolls, these twin dolls, I'm serious, man, you can make it look like you. Like, you can make a Craig Taylor doll. You find a kid, I don't know, have they got any with a goatee? Because they got eyeballs you can choose. The way you do it is you go, I want these eyeballs, I want that head. Oh, no. Now they got a picture of a mother and the daughter and the doll. This is making me crazy. But if you get these things, stick that thing in a carpool seat, man. You're on your way to work. Does this mean that, in other words, when you have these twin dolls you can make for your kid, what you've got is a child that can nurture her inner self, her inner child? No, it means you've got a narcissist in the making right here, okay? Look at me. Do you want to come over to my house and play with me? This is the JonBenet Ramsey syndrome right here. Now I know why. But I'll tell you one thing. If you can get a doll that looks like your kid, then you don't have to beat the crap out of your kid. Take the doll and throw it down some stairs. And if the Ramseys had this, well, too late now. JonBenet, I'm telling you, if Patsy and what's-his-face had that twin doll thing, they could have made up one that looked like her. They could have bounced that thing all over the street, kicked it out underneath the wheels of a truck. Remember that thing on Saturday Night Live, Stunt Baby? Did you ever see Stunt Baby? Oh, my God, it was the greatest thing that they ever did. You never saw Stunt Baby. What it was Bill Murray and Gilda Radner and one other guy, and they're standing there, and they've got this baby, and the baby won't quiet down, and John Belushi is the father, and he's going crazy. Would you please shut that baby up? And she says, no, I can't. And Bill Murray's the director, and he says, cut. And they bring in the stunt baby named Morty or something, and he's looking at this baby. Okay, Morty, you know what you have to do. They give the stunt baby to Belushi, and they go, okay, start shooting again. And Belushi starts swinging it over his head and throwing it through a window, and then in one of the stunt baby skits, he took its face and jammed it into a grandfather clock. It was brilliant. Stunt baby. And I think Murray, who played the typical TV or whatever the hell kind of director, he had some tootski. So he'd like let the baby toot up before he let the baby take a snort before he went into a stunt baby act. Oh, God, it was great. Anyway, be on the lookout for My Twin. It's strange. My Twins, It's Strange, this Christmas season. I'm going to get Catherine one of these. We've got a 9-year-old, Catherine. I'm going to get her a twin doll, and I know that I want to record her reaction when she unwraps it. Look, Catherine, it looks just like you. And as she runs screaming through a plate glass window, I want to have the camera going, and then I'm going to mail it to these people that make these. Look, Catherine, it's a doll that looks just like you. And have the camera going. Okay, 1-800, by the way, Melissa, could we have one made up to look like you? Okay, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686 is our number. They also have skin tone, eyeballs. Oh, boy. This is this My Twin catalog. I realize it's unfair of me to select a business that's probably struggling to sort of throw this comic vitriol on top of, but it's creepy. I'm sorry. They've got these little twin dolls that are next to the kid, and the kid's leaning against the tree, and the doll is staring through the grates of a fence, and it's almost like the doll is the resonating spirit of the kid who's long since departed. And what happens if your kid dies in an accident? You keep the doll around? I mean, I'm sorry, but what, you know? And why is it that I have the need, and most of you would also have the need, to drive a screwdriver through its face? Why? Because you think it's alive. That's why. So anyway, you can pick up personalized My Twin Baby's hair and eyebrow color, skin texture. This is the way it's going to be for real someday. This is the way it's going to be for real someday. Someday, you'll be picking your baby's head out, eyeball, skin texture. And you know what? As much as people like to say, well, you know, I just want them to be healthy and happy and bullcrap, they're going to make their kid as good-looking as possible, right? They're going to make their kid as good-looking as possible, as pleasing to the eye as possible. In other words, you don't want them to look anything like your family. Now, we have here the various heads you can select. There's one down here in the far left corner. It's this little blonde-haired boy. Looks like an Aryan Nations, just, you know,
hi, the Fuhrer has picked me to tell you.
Then they have the South Pacific Islander head. There's a kind of a Chinese kid, not Japanese, Chinese, because there's a difference. The Chinese are fair, have fair skin. One up here, some euphoric Laplander. What is that kid? They've got them all. And they got them for you. So, it's an idea for Christmas. If I see them turning up at my house, though, there's going to be deep, dark trouble. If my wife goes and gets a doll that looks like me, just the golf clubs, honey, not that I'm going to use them. By the way, I've got a golf game in about a week and a half, and my back is in no shape. I say my back's in no shape. Fact of the matter is my golf game's in no shape. But I'll use my back as an excuse. All right, also, we want to let you know that Casino Night 2000 will be coming up, and that'll be on November the 4th. We have a number for you to call if you'd like to be a part of our Casino Night 2000, and that number is 1-323-908-0011, extension 102. That number again, 323-908-0011, extension 102. You can be a part of our Casino Night 2000. We raise money for my friend's place.
Goodbye.
I cannot believe that you're actually doing what you're claiming that you're doing.
What are we doing?
Asking personal questions of a sexual nature just to any woman.
No, ma'am. That is not sexual. This simply has to do with the menopause deal.
And you think that's not sexual to ask that of a perfectly strange lady?
Well, if you think that I'm getting turned on by that, I can
tell
you...
No, I don't mean that.
Vaginal dryness doesn't turn me on. I don't know about anybody. How about you, Phil?
Will you stop?
What?
Would you stop with that? I don't want to be a part of anything that you do, all right? This is...
Well, the lady understands what I'm talking about.
I understand that if you came up to my car and asked me a question like that, I would shut all my doors, make sure they're locked, close my windows, get on my cell phone and call the police and tell them there's a masher at my window.
Well, wait a minute, ma'am, because we are giving out coupons for Astroglide.
Big deal. That still doesn't
that
make it
help.
Proper.
That's
most improper. And it's none of your business.
Well, I'm just asking, do you have the itch? How about if I put it that way?
I mean, do you have the itch?
Well, she's offended
That's
by...
That's disgusting.
Well, ma'am...
You are totally disgusting.
Ma'am, you are out on the highway, a hazard to other motorists, if you're reaching down and scratching with one hand...
Would you stop with
Excuse
that?
Excuse me.
Yes? What did I do?
You don't even know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about the dryness that accompanies, according to this brochure. The other thing, too, is if you're not comfortable with Astroglide, we have a brochure on how well saliva works. And
oh, man.
Oh, I think you are disgusting.
Oh, man.
You should be arrested for pornographic...
Ma'am, we are trying to save lives.
Well, that's not the way to save them.
Well,
if you came up to my car and tried to pressure me like that and suggest I get on the hood of my car for a vaginal exam, let
yes,
me
ma'am.
Tell you, you'd have a fight you wouldn't know about.
Ma'am, would you hold on the line? We do have a police officer who is on the other line in Baltimore, Maryland. Sir? Baltimore?
Yes.
Yes, sir, you're a police officer?
I'm a retired 30-year veteran.
Okay, we have you on the phone with a lady from Apple Valley, California, Jay Santos.
How you doing, buddy?
With the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
How you doing, officer?
First off, anytime you stop anyone, you have to have a reason. You're stopping their freedom of movement.
I do have a reason.
Which is an amendment. You have to have a violation. A clear-cut
that
violation
would be
or
a violation.
Violation.
There would be no probable cause
and
to come up
just
and ask
to stop
sexual
a woman
question.
Between 30 and 50 is profiling, which is highly
You don't illegal. Think that vaginal dryness is a violation?
No. That is not a criminal violation or a traffic violation.
Well, buddy, you ought to be in California on a hot summer day.
Well, I don't think
I'm just California.
Joking
around. Oh, man.
Well, what about the lady in Apple Valley? You understand.
Not after this. I mean, I've heard everything pertaining to California.
Well,
excuse me?
Yes,
as
ma'am.
As bizarre as I've heard.
The lady in Apple Valley understands.
I don't think she does.
Well, I understand perfectly.
I would strongly recommend that
any medical
the security forces for the malls and shopping centers put you off or charge you with trespassing.
Sir, I'm wearing a white pith helmet with a blue armband.
That is not a law enforcement officer, and a woman does not have to stop for anyone but a law enforcement officer in full uniform and a marked police vehicle.
But, ma'am, I would say to you that some woman sweating from menopause could make her hand slip off the wheel and crash into a dump truck.
Universal
I think you are most disgusting.
Thing.
You are nothing but a pornographic freak. That's
because
the
we
end
have
of this talk.
Reciprocal
Bye.
Traffic agreements with
that
most
hurts.
Of the states.
That really hurts.
And women do not have to stop for anybody but a police officer in full uniform or in a marked police cruiser.
Sir, I'm just trying to save lives.
Whatever
That's not the way to go about doing
broken,
it. May hand out a brochure and leave it at that. They ask some questions of that
action.
Nature.
It may be called the state police, state
what?
Troopers, militia, the rangers.
Or the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage have enforced and preserved our state law.
Where'd everybody go?
Phil Henry.
We'll see you Monday.